I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A, and we are very happy to welcome back to our studios a local performer that we've had in a few times before, Rachel Kilgore. Welcome, Rachel.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. You have a new EP out. Came out a few months ago, I think, right?
Did, February 1st.
Yeah, and we somehow did not manage to snag you into the studio, and so I saw you had a vinyl release show coming up this Saturday and said, we're getting her in. And that is Saturday at 7 o'clock at a newish venue, the Duluth Folk School. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to assume your first time playing there.
Yes, indeed.
Great. Well, let's hear a tune, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk about what you've been up to since the last time you were here. We'll talk about the EP and whatever else you want to talk about. What do you want to start with here?
I think I will start with this is a tune called Sincerely.
We were tiny young things when they filled our heads with love songs, the fabled romantic affair. Now we spend our days longing for that one true love to keep us from a long and lonely despair. And we fall for it hard. Yes, we play by the rules, so bewitched by the target bird. Oh, how cruel it seems. Such an unforgiving dream. We've been set up for a crushing defeat. Tell me who measures up to the fantasies, the fiction that reads the thoughts in your head. But what if love is ordinary, like patience and forgiveness, and taking turns making the best? I'm a cynic these days, but I want to believe a more humble endeavor might still be worth working toward. Your dirty clothes all on the floor, well, maybe romance is a hard-earned reward. Is it hope or delusion? Are we heroes or human? I've come to believe something in between. Well, there you are, so perfect. There you are, and it's clear. Now I don't have the words yet, but love sincerely. I am willing. What greater oath can an honest heart?
Rachel Kilgore, live from Studio A, and the tune that wraps up her new EP, Game Changer. And a very sweet song, kind of about the difference between the love that, the kind of, the love of movies, you know, the love that we are sold in media, right, versus reality, I kind of feel like.
Yeah. I really was quite taken with this article by a man named Alain de Botton, who does the School of Life. It's a he does this whole programming with like YouTube videos on just how to be a better person. And he did a really great article in the New York Times called Why You Will Marry the Wrong Person. And I was just in love with it. And I felt like, oh, he's just captured everything I've been feeling, you know, as a person who's experienced marriage and divorce and a new relationship. I feel like quite practical about the whole thing and a little pessimistic, like a healthy amount of pessimism, like we're all flawed and are going to screw up, and there's something really beautiful about not giving up on a person. Anyways,
and and realize, and it takes us a while, I think, to learn that lesson, because we are sold, you know, in every book, in every movie, not everyone, but you know, the popular culture, it's all about finding that perfect person and all of that stuff, and yeah. Then you don't always learn the part about the work part of it,
right? The work part of it, and the fact that, like, the perfect person doesn't exist, and having really felt the fallout of that dream, or like that, the fallout of not living up to those expectations for someone else. I think I really feel kind of devoted to like reprogramming myself and the people that I love, to think of relationships as, something a little less romantic maybe, but also, deeply loving and forgiving and, hopeful and generous,
and perhaps with romantic moments still in there.
Oh, of course, yes, just a little bit.
But it's just not all, you know, it's not always. Well, that's a lovely tune that ends up the EP. But you kind of also brought in, you know, as you have done in the past, you know, you are a person who is an, I don't know why I'm struggling, but your music has always kind of been a blend of the personal, but also activism and things like that. And mm-hmm. You have a version of In America on here, which I think you've released before.
Yep. A new version.
Mm-hmm. What made you want to do that one again?
You know, I actually never, I released it previously only online, and I kept at the end of my live concerts, people would always be asking, like, old people who still have CDs would always be asked, CD players would always be asking for the hard copy version, and I just didn't have it.
Oh, I guess I had thought first, yeah, it was in my head that you had it on a CD. But
yeah,
I
had it on, you know, there was this 3-song EP called Whistleblower's Manifesto.
Oh, got it.
That
yes.
was just, you could okay. only download online, which is fine
okay.
for a lot of people, but also a lot of people wanted a hard copy. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of an interesting opportunity to reimagine it. And on the EP, my partner Sarah Pajunen is a really wonderful violinist, and she arranged some beautiful string parts to go along with that song and a few others on the disc.
Yeah, there is some lovely work from her on here, which is a nice addition. Yeah, and so tell me about where you did this album, and I'm not familiar with the person who produced it, Gar Ragland?
Yeah, Gar is a good friend and also the president of the New Song Music Organization, I guess is what we call it. And New Song is they held the contest that I won in 2015 in New York City. And they also have a record label, New Song Recordings, which this album was released on. But actually, one of my rewards for winning the contest was an EP recorded in Asheville, North Carolina, with Gar as a producer. So this was a fulfillment of that reward, like, a few years later. He was
nice.
Real patient with me.
Well, I was going to say, because you had a whole album in between there.
Yeah, actually, like, when that contest happened, I was already in the recording studio with Rabbit in the Road, mm-hmm. so he did make some concessions with me as far as the timing, because he knew that I had something else coming out right then, so mm-hmm. we kind of delayed that. But yeah, Gar has been a very good friend and mentor in the music industry, and has provided many opportunities for performances and for meeting folks that have helped me in my career.
Nice. And so since you were already working on a different album before you did this, when it came time to do this album, did you have to come up with some songs? Did you already have some songs? Did you have leftover songs? Mm-hmm. How did you come up with the 5 songs that are, well, we heard about In America, so.
Yeah, I guess that's the only old one. But Yeah, I had a few songs. I had a handful of songs. And one, I guess, the song Garden, I hadn't completed yet. So I kind of felt some pressure to get that done before going into the studio, which was awkward and, like, against my artistic beliefs. Going in there and just being grossed out by this fact that was happening, that I was, like, still panicking, trying to get the right words to fit in the song. And
Was there anything positive about having to do that, and, you know, do something that was contrary to what you would normally do?
Sure. I mean, I think I was open to trying to do things a little differently, in all aspects beyond just, like, showing up and not knowing what I was doing. But I do think it also was, like, a reminder of who I am. Like, there were some parts of the recording that was challenging because of that. Like, when I went in with Rabbit in the Road, it felt like I had my heartstrings wrapped around the whole project, and I knew what it was, and I knew what I wanted it to be. And that presented challenges because it's hard to manifest that kind of thing in a studio. But also just, like, I felt clear about my purpose and why I was doing it. And I think this one, it took a little while, like, singing the songs and singing them together in a row and, like, listening back to them and trying to, like, write a description of it and, like, figure out, why did I just do this? What does this even mean? Why did I put these songs together in an album? But in time, that came. With enough interviews, you eventually learn how to describe yourself, define yourself and your work. So, it asked something different of me. But I do think in the end, when I'm asked that question, it just feels like I kind of made a list of intentions for myself and who I want to be in my 30s.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Garden is kind of seems like maybe a part of that list. I love that song because I think I can, you know, I think many of us can totally relate to that idea. The lyrics are about, you know, I want to be a person who can pay my bills and have a garden and do this stuff. And, you know, and it kind of implied not be, for me, it's like not be scattered all the time and just be able to kind of do the things I love and, you know, slow down a little bit and
absolutely.
And still, you know. Yeah. So I can totally relate to that.
Yeah. No, it's hard work being a grown up.
It sure, especially when you're in a profession that is not necessarily conducive to being grown up.
Oh my gosh, you're so right. I think there's also, you know, a lot of people have ideas about what it means to be an artist, and specifically a performing artist. There's, like, a lot of weird idolatry or, like, living vicariously through performers. I think you have a lot of people who love me who, like, anytime they see me in town are like, you're living your dreams, we're so happy for you. And, like, it's hard to make space within living my dreams for I'm not certain how I will pay rent this month. Or you know, like, I got mentioned in Rolling Stone. I still am, like, confused about my life, and I'm still sleeping on people's couches sometimes. I'm a real grown up.
I think it's good to remind people of that for sure, because especially with, you know, how the music business has changed and how it's tougher to make a living because, you know, people don't want to pay for the music, and so you have to figure out how to make money. And so I think, it seems like a nice dream, but people don't always realize the reality of how hard it can be.
Yeah, for sure.
So in between the last album and this one, I think you went and spent some time in Boston.
Did, yeah.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Boston was fun. Sarah, my partner, is going to school in Boston, so that was kind of the precipice for the actual, like, taking the leap and trying it out. Mm-hmm. But I do have a lot of friends and musical connections in the area, and so it was exciting and presented some new opportunities. It was much easier, I will say, being a touring musician on the East Coast. Cities are just closer together, and there are more opportunities for solo musicians. There's, like, a really strong tradition of, like, singer-songwriter concert series and coffee houses and stuff that that pay well and have actively listening audiences, which is something that I sometimes struggle to find in the Midwest. So it's something that I really liked. But, man, I missed my family, and I missed the lake, and I missed, like, the trees and just the Minnesotan ways of being. The, like, kind of slowed down, the patience that people have. And apologetic nature of Minnesotans.
Yeah, Bostonians are not famous for that.
No. And, you know, it works well for them. All of them kind of, you know, we each have our cultures.
Mm-hmm.
They all ask for what they need and they all get it. And we all just like look out for one another instead of asking for what we need. And that works too. But just like this mashup of both of those cultures was sometimes difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but a great experience. I'll actually be going out. Sarah's going to finish her degree this September, and I'll be joining her out there for part of the time. And I have been this past year going back and forth between the two places. So I don't really know where I live, but I guess I'm a Duluthian.
Kind of nice to be able to have a home in a couple different places and
yeah.
people. And
for sure.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to play next for us?
I was thinking I'd play Garden.
Thank you.
I've been dreaming about a garden. I wanna be the kind of girl who doesn't kill the garden. I wanna pay the bills and still not kill the garden. Successful in my love and my art, wanna finish what I start. Successful, not the status, the wealth, but my passion, my health. Successful, heart of our nation. Pride to never be satisfied. Why would you settle? Why would you crawl if you had it all? I need a vacation from chasing my dreams. Don't we all need a vacation? I wanna write a good song, have long talks with my mom, with patience, heart of our nation's pride to never be a sad. Job and a marriage, resolve at the new year. Why would you settle? Why would you crawl if you could have it all? If you could have it all. I want to be grateful.
Rachel Kilgore live from Studio A, and that is the song that opens her Game Changer album. We heard the closing song, now we've heard the opening song from that EP, and that is Garden. And beautiful artwork, by the way, on this album. Looks like it's by Sarah Holst.
Mm-hmm. She's a local.
And I realized as I was going through the lyric that the image comes from the title song, Game Changer, Fill Your Lungs with Golden Rubies.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I handed that line off to Sarah and Sarah Holst, and she made this really incredible drawing that we played around with the coloring a little bit. And yeah.
Nice.
There we are, an album cover.
Nice. You mentioned Rolling Stone earlier, and was it the first single, Holy Are We? Was that the first single mm-hmm. from the album? That was named for a top 10 country and Americana song of the week by Rolling Stone. So nice to get a little love for that.
It was nice. You're right.
Yeah. And tell me a little bit about that tune.
I guess it's a little bit of a love song and a little bit of a kind of defiant queer anthem all at once. I was very lucky to be raised by a mother who didn't make any fuss about my coming out as a teenager. And by that I mean it's not like she threw me a party. She didn't throw me a coming out party, but she also didn't react negatively, and I think that really protected me from a lot of things in my life. I feel comfortable getting on stage and using female pronouns to describe the people I'm in relationship with without fear and with some confidence that as long as my mom loves me, all's well. But I think that it really hit me recently that is an extraordinary experience. It is not the norm. A lot of queer kids are kicked out of their homes as teenagers and as adults estranged from their families. And even families who they stay in contact with and have loving relationships with often there's this shame and pain and a lot of like existential questions that come out of a family not understanding how your sexuality is okay and beautiful. And so I wrote the song, I guess, hoping to be kind of insistent that all of those folks who feel those questions remember that they are beautiful, wonderful people and that they have nothing to be ashamed of.
That's very lovely. And I think that's an important message because I think for people who aren't affected by that, you know, for those of us in the straight world, we might think, oh, well, you know, gay people have more rights now, so everything's fine, everything's great, and it's not.
No, yeah.
And it's good to be reminded there, you know, there are, there's still situations where people feel unsafe and still situations where they are unsafe and, yes. and have to face discrimination and all of those things. So I think it's really a good reminder that,
yeah, I mean, even for myself with someone who has the privilege of a welcoming family, mm-hmm. I have to remind myself. I mean, I've lived a lot of my life thinking like, oh, this isn't even an issue. Like I've never encountered an issue. And then, like personally, I have never felt really unsafe. I felt judged occasionally in like rare moments walking through Miller Hill Mall. however, but nothing like close to my heart, you mm-hmm. know? And right. I know that is so not true for a lot of people who identify, as LGBTQ and, yeah. It is important to remember that. Mm-hmm. Times have changed, but a lot of families really struggle with that. And there's definitely pain on all sides of that. I know it isn't an easy journey for parents who feel confused also about their faith and what it means about their child's life. And it's complicated.
And yeah, and that's kind of part of the message, you know, that you're saying we're holy too. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Whatever your faith might say. You know, this is also a holy thing. So, very lovely song. And so you've been doing, you've been spending some time here in Duluth, I think. Mm-hmm. Not doing a ton of shows, though. So that's why I was especially excited to see you're doing the vinyl release on Saturday. Have you been doing, I think I saw you doing some house concerts, maybe?
Yeah, I've been playing a few house concerts. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't play so much. You know, playing in Duluth, honestly, it feels like I'm playing to my extended family, which is cute. But also, you know, like it's like the
Preaching to the choir, maybe?
Yeah, well, it's preaching to the choir, but also people, like, know me in a different way. Mm-hmm. They, my songs mean something different because they have an idea of my history. Mm-hmm. My songs are, like, they want to, like, call out cover songs that they want me to sing instead of, like, really taking in what I have to offer, which is a little different than when I'm on the road and I'm a stranger to an audience. So it's all, it presents interesting challenges. Mm-hmm. Also, I just don't like to play too often in one place because... I think that kind of connection that can come from, like, real vulnerability from the stage is not something you should overindulge in necessarily with one group of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it does make it more of a special occasion because when I saw you were playing, I thought, oh, hooray. it's been a while. We haven't seen Rachel play in a while. So
yeah. It's true. I am playing. I'm also playing tomorrow in the cities at the Turf Club.
Oh, great.
So that's... Yeah, those two shows are like my two Minnesotan things that I'm doing this mm-hmm. spring, this mm-hmm. winter or spring, really. I haven't played very much in a while. But.
Oh, and you also have a duo with Sarah, partner, and I forget what it's called.
Sound and Echo.
So tell me a little bit about Sound and Echo.
Yeah, we're kind of reimagining old folk songs as a string, as an acoustic duo. Sarah's a violinist. I am kinda, too. So sometimes it's two violins and two vocals, or sometimes it's a guitar and a violin. But kind of just, like, new, like, modern, simple arrangements of old songs that you might recognize, mm-hmm. which has been kind of fun and different, mm-hmm. differently challenging. Mm.
I don't remember if I knew that about you, that you also played fiddle.
Yeah, when I first started, actually, I think my debut was playing the violin on the three alto CD.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And on stage with Sarah Thompson as a young person. I mean, I was a violinist here at UMD.
Oh, wow. I guess I had forgotten that. Nice. Well, that's fun because, yeah, Sarah is a great violinist. I know we've had her in the studio in some of her projects before, and...
It was kind of intimidating, I'll be honest. When I brought my violin back out, I was like, ooh, yikes.
Yeah.
Don't judge me.
But it's working out okay?
It's working out okay. I'm slowly improving.
Great. Well, she can probably, does she?
She can cover up for all my flaws.
Yeah.
It's true. She's over there doing fancy stuff, and I'm like, just holding down.
Mm-hmm.
The fort.
Wonderful. Well, what do you want to wrap up with here?
I'd like to play Holy Are We, if that's
great.
All right.
I would love if you would do that.
Right. With her hand
is to love her well. You can send me there, send me to hell for loving well.
Rachel Kilgore live from Studio A, and another tune from her new EP, Game Changer, which is coming out on vinyl, and she's doing a release show on Saturday at the Duluth Folk School, and it starts at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I'm really excited about the vinyl, too. People, if nothing else, should come just to see the blown-up artwork on
it's so beautiful.
Vinyl size.
So, but as a person who is kind of itinerant, going back and forth a lot, do you have a record player?
I do. Yes, I do.
Okay.
I know. I don't listen to myself on it, but but I could if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. Well, thank you so much, Rachel. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Chris Harwood and Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.